It is 5:09, and this is the Steve Cochran Show with Bob Surratt. Glad to have you up early with us. Well, disaster was averted this morning because it's an old habit doing morning broadcast. You set two alarm clocks, right? You know, one is plugged in, and the other is a battery-operated clock. So in case there's a power failure, you still get up, right? So I get up this morning, the clock radio alarm thing that's plugged in, that goes off, and I turn it off. And then I look at the backup there, the battery-operated alarm clock, and it's not going off. And I'm looking at it, and then I realize, oh, I set it for 3:30 p.m., not 3:30 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Typical mistake.
Uh-oh, that could have been bad. So I'm one power failure away from not showing up this
morning.
Okay,
see, I think remember yesterday you said you were a cup half full guy? Now you're looking at the cup being half empty. You were awake and you're staring at battery operated clock.
At least you didn't hit snooze.
Did I say I was a half full guy? Really?
Yeah, I think
I don't
you
think
well,
of myself that way.
I think I remember
I
that.
You did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No,
did,
so.
Did you watch the whole game?
You know what? I fell asleep.
Said you were gonna.
In the fourth quarter, I fell asleep.
That's when it hit me. There was like 8 minutes left, and then they must have scored. The other team scored like 10 more points or something.
Yeah, Dallas scored a couple late touchdowns.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah, it was 14. They had 14 when I fell asleep.
Yeah, I mean they scored
a touchdown
and then they kicked. They were driving towards a touchdown, and they hustled, knowing they needed two scores. They hustled their field goal unit on with 8 seconds to go.
Gotcha.
Okay, that was it.
The other thing I noticed that I was reminded yesterday about working these hours is you kind of get to a point where you almost have your act together and your brain's functioning during the broadcast. But then later in the day, there's trouble. And this happened to me yesterday. This is the first time this has ever happened to me. I go to the grocery store yesterday during the day because I figure, you know, let me get this done today. So tomorrow I won't have to do it. It'll be Friday, and I'll just be able to go home after the show. So I'm at the store, and I'm feeling very efficient, and I go to check out, and I don't have my wallet. So we've got all the groceries there, and I don't have my wallet, so apparently I forgot it at home. So I have to leave the groceries there, go home, get my wallet, come back, and I'm trying to do this before the kickoff. And so I finally got home a few minutes into the first quarter. But I was thinking, I've never done this before. I've never done that, but it's a casualty of working these early hours.
Well, hope you didn't have frozen food.
Yeah, what about, did you have your phone?
Yeah.
Do you have Apple Pay?
Could have done
or
Apple
Google
Pay.
Pay or any of those?
No, I don't have that.
I don't either.
I don't have that. Believe me, I'm the kind of guy, it's amazing I'm not still walking around with cashier's checks and traveler's checks. It's 5:13 almost, and is the Bishop Ford still going to be still messed up?
The two right lanes are still blocked at 111th inbound. They're doing a fatal accident investigation from that motorcycle accident overnight.
So that's going to be trouble all morning?
No.
Oh, okay.
They said a couple hours, so I'm guessing, don't quote me, but it should be open by 7-ish or before that. I'm thinking before that.
Okay.
For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Are you still filling in occasionally over there at Channel 9, Dave?
Yeah, I do. Once in a while. Haven't lately.
I hear that's catching on television. That's someday people will have, everybody will have
a
set or two in the house.
You think so?
Yeah.
Will they get bigger?
You know, it's funny. The quality has gotten so good, but more people are watching on phones now. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
When you think about it? Really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
A little later, we're going to be talking with a TV technology expert because it's very complicated now. It's not easy buying television sets anymore. What are you supposed to buy? 4K, 8K, LED, you know, either Are they even making plasma anymore? I don't know. But we're going to be talking about that coming up this morning in our 7 o'clock hour, if you're awake and with us. The holiday lights are shining, aren't they? This is interesting. The nights get longer this time of year, but not necessarily darker. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, American suburbs are up to 50% brighter than usual, even after midnight. Our holiday lights are so impressive that they can be observed from space. The Department of Energy estimates that Americans burn 6.6 billion kilowatt hours annually using holiday lights. That's enough electricity to power more than 800,000 homes for a year. Now, they talk about some simple adjustments you can make with your holiday lights to go green a little bit. The biggest thing you can do is switch to LED lights. If you do, you'll use up to 70% less energy than you would with traditional incandescent bulbs. Have you gone to the hardware store to buy bulbs lately? It's too complicated. When I'm president, there will be just one kind of light bulb. I don't know what light bulb to buy. Forget not knowing what television to buy. I can't even buy a light bulb. Plus, you won't need to replace lights as often with LEDs. They last about 10 times longer. An associate professor at Indiana University in Bloomington who studies environmental psychology says if you want the lights, try to get the most efficient ones, and when you're not using them, turn them off. Mrs. Surratt is very big on all of this and going green and plastic-free. In fact, she has, I'll give her a little plug here today, she has sourced this product, and on Amazon you can get it. It's one of these beeswax wraps, and actually they're pretty cool because you don't have to buy plastic wraps or plastic baggies anymore, because these things, you can use them like 150 times. You just rinse them with cold water and then you wrap your leftovers and fruits and vegetables in them. And if you want info on that, savvy-planet.com. And by doing that, I'll have a nice weekend, if you know what I mean. Savvy-planet.com.
I use a lot of baggies during the day. Really do.
It's one of the things I asked for Christmas, silicone reusable baggies.
The wonderful stocking stuffers, hostess gifts, and all of that. Let's see, a couple of thoughts I had this morning about what's good about these hours. You actually sleep so little, when you wake up, your back isn't even stiff. I mean, you haven't been in bed long enough. Let's look at the bright side. Maybe I am a half full kind of guy,
yeah.
A cup half full kind of guy, now that I think about it. I mean, there are advantages here, other than, you know, everybody talks about, well, the traffic is good at this hour, but you know what? It gets bad quick.
Oh, yeah.
It really does.
It's sometimes not that great, you know, this hour. A lot of semis and speeders. And
sometimes they're just finishing up the overnight construction,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
You still run into the tail end of that.
Yep.
Yeah, yesterday on the way in on the Kennedy, it probably was about Armitage. I don't know if it was a drag race or what, but one car on my right, one car on my left, both passed me at the same time, probably doing about 95.
I mean, and you're stuck in the middle going, huh?
Yeah.
Don't hit
really.
Me.
Yeah, but I waved.
Yeah. Half the time I'm an autopilot, I don't even see them. They shoot up on both sides like, yeah!
Yeah, you don't, actually, I saw a police car on the expressway today stopping somebody for something.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Never see that this early, usually.
On the Kennedy this morning, I saw a couple of them.
You saw, really?
Yeah, I saw two with lights flashing when I was on my way in, so maybe it was one of those.
I remember back in the Stone Age when I was doing mornings on BBM-FM when it was, what was it called? It was after, they were called the Young Sound for a while, and then, Stereo 96, Where Rock Is. Yeah. and doing the, they gave
on
me
your
the
hi-fi.
They gave me the morning show because they figured, well, put this kid on because nobody has FM in their car. This was like 1971 or 72. He can't do any harm. Just put him on in the morning where nobody can hear him. And one of the features I had, I remember I would see, cops hiding, chasing speeders, mm-hmm. and I would reveal their hiding spots on the show.
I'm sure they appreciated that.
Yeah. I stopped that quickly when I realized I needed to be friendly to the to the officers, in case I violated anything. It's 5:24, and we will We will, in a little bit, talk to Johnny Jett, our pal, the travel expert. I think between, when are we doing that? Like between 6:30 and 7. If you've gone to his website, I mean, it's really amazing, johnnyjett.com. If you're looking for travel tips or information about deals, and a lot of people are about to go on vacation, and some people, I'm raising my hand now, have left to the last minute getting airline tickets, which is a problem. But if you're in any of those categories, johnnyjett.com, J-O-H-N-N-Y, Jet, J-E-T.com. Really, really a good site. And we'll talk to him about some last-minute deals that he has found and some good travel tips. That's on the way here on the Steve Cochran broadcast. And we will also have something from my record collection. We'll do that after 6 as well, in spite of popular demand. And, of course, everybody's talking about the Bears game. And were you there, Dave? Did you go?
I was, yes.
It was a nice night, actually.
It was a great night. I was worried about being cold. I sat in the stands. It was not cold at all. There were a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans there. I mean,
really?
A lot. I saw them walking into Soldier Field, and I thought, well, maybe I'd just be behind a group of them. But no, they were all over. And yeah, that's not totally surprising because today it's not hard to get tickets to events in other cities if you want to go, and if you're a fan of a team, if you want to go, Bob, you're a big Cubs fan, if you want to go watch the Cubs somewhere, it's not hard to get those tickets if you mm-hmm. want to go to wherever, Milwaukee or whatever. But I was still a little surprised because it's a Thursday night. That means if you're coming from Dallas, you're taking a couple days off work, whatever.
Yeah,
but they kind of They were kind of quiet most of the night. They were really loud on that opening drive, and then they quieted up.
Yeah, it wasn't much for them to cheer about after that opening drive.
No, not till the end of the game.
Yeah. Tickets for Bears games are probably going to get scarce again now, too. How many home games are left there?
Only one more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kansas City.
When is that?
That's 2 weeks.
Green Bay is
next week up there. Then they play Kansas City, and then they finish at Minnesota, as you seems like, as usual.
We are going to talk to Dan Hampton this morning between 7 and 8. I've got a couple of questions for him. And Obradovich, is after his broadcasts, do they just put him in a home for a few days to just cool off? Is that what they do?
No, they're fine. And by the way, we saved you some lasagna.
Oh, yeah,
last night.
No, we didn't. I dumped it.
Oh, well.
Mary.
Come on. It's been sitting out for 12 hours.
No, 12 hours. Not even.
That's okay with me. I saw the petrified food out there.
Did you see the bread? Ugh.
Yeah.
It's a little hard.
But those guys, and Obradovich and Hampton, have the big spread whenever they're here, right? And they were on last night.
Yeah, pasta
right?
spread. Usually there's meatballs. I don't know where the meatballs were this time.
Well, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to know. Yeah. Business news coming up, too, this morning. We'll talk a little bit more about Uber. What is happening with their stock? Yikes. We'll get to that. And also, we will... what else will we get to here? And people were commenting yesterday on my shuffling of newspapers, accusing me of being too old school. There's nothing to shuffle anymore,
right? It's refreshing.
Well, I'm glad you said that, yes. If you're just joining us, this is the new format at WGN. It's shuffling papers on the 30s. Thank you. Agribusiness headlines now with Orion.
Good morning. Market activity at the Board of Trade yesterday saw soybean futures higher for the third straight day, thanks to strength in the soybean meal market. And the Chicago Board of Trade January soybean meal futures up 1.7% yesterday. Soybeans for January delivery ended higher, up 6.25 cents a bushel. And the March soft red winter Carter, wheat futures were down 3.75 yesterday at the Chicago Board of Trade. Turning to livestock, hog futures fell after a weak export sales report yesterday. The lean hog contract traded lower after the USDA said that weekly export sales of pork came in at a four-week low of 29,300 tons. Cattle trade, February live cattle ended up 42 cents a hundredweight. January feeder cattle down 32 cents a hundredweight. And USDA said export sales of beef fell to 12,000 tons in the week ended November 28. Well, we're still building wind farms here in the United States because Wyoming has now approved the addition of 277 turbines in that state. The Wyoming Industrial Siting Council has approved a permit to construct a 277 turbine wind farm on the border of Albany and Carbon counties in that state. Construction estimated to cost about $1 billion, and Canada-based Blue Earth Renewables, who'll be doing the construction, said it will take about 19 months to build the wind farm. That's AgBiz. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
I always feel like Barney Pip after coming on following Orion. It's 5:41. Somebody was asking me about moving to AM from FM. We were telling the story about the early days there when I was at Stereo 96. I had to shift over to AM so I could afford an FM radio in my car. That kind of explains that. And I'm remembering now from those days when I was working in the morning and also on Fox thing in the morning, working the early hours on TV. I remember now how you get used to these early morning hours. You really don't get used to it. You just get used to feeling sick all the time. And, you know, this is coming from somebody who's doing this for 2 days, right?
You're making us feel really good right now.
I don't feel like that ever.
So Dave and I have been sick for how many years now?
Yeah. I love going to bed at 7:30 p.m. It's fantastic.
Especially when it's dark, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there are some people, and my wife is one of them, who are naturally bubbly and enjoy the early morning hours. I've never been one of them, but there are many people out there who are like that.
I'm going on vacation with my best friend, and she has, like, shows planned for us at, like, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., and I'm like, can I duck out early? Is she gonna care if she's doing these on her own? Can I wake up at 5? So, yeah, it's a whole different way of life.
Yeah, it is. It is. And but I have to stop complaining. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Although it's, you know, I'm told it's relatable because nobody likes it, right? Coming up, we will, what will we do? Oh, Lou Manfredini will be with us after 6. We'll have the top 6 at 6, too, the top stories of the day. And we'll get a little more into the business news, too, and talk about Uber and what's happening with that stock. The regular proprietor of the store will be back on Monday. By the way, I think Steve Cochran's staff, I think Viv and Joe are sick of me. I think the novelty is worn off because I was in the control room during that break, and they appear to be in a bad mood. So I take it personally.
No. You would believe me. You would know if
yeah.
they were.
Those two don't really get that bad of a mood.
They're steady as they go. Yeah.
By the way, Jen DeSalvo handling the newsroom operations today. Good to see you again, Jen.
It's so nice to work with you again, Bob. I miss you.
How have you been?
I'm doing well. Yeah.
I hear you everywhere, and you were on Channel 5 for a while, right?
Yeah, I still work for Channel 5. I work for them doing traffic and field reporting, so I'm there half the time, I'm here half the time.
Well, aren't you the queen of all media?
It's good to be busy, right?
It's good also not to have any stock in Uber. This is really something. Uber is set to lose just over $1 billion from its market cap after the ride-sharing company said that roughly 6,000 sexual assault cases took place in the company's cars over the last 2 years. Listen to this. Uber's stock fell 2.2% in pre-market trading this morning in New York, equivalent to about $1.1 billion of its market cap from Thursday's close of $48.9 billion. billion. The company released a report on their website yesterday detailing the number of sexual assaults, car crashes, and murders that took place in 2017 and 2018 in the United States. And nobody is happy about that, although I'm wondering how the news is being talked about today by cab drivers gathering in various breakfast locations at 551. And did you watch the whole game last night? Bears looking good. I wonder, and I think that we'll probably hear from somebody on this, because I was curious. Where is that story about the alternative television last night? Did anybody watch on Amazon Prime? Because they were doing an experiment last night, a live stream of the Bears-Cowboys game with a variety of announcers that you could choose from. So you didn't have to watch Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You had Hannah Storm and other people. Did anybody do that? I'd be anxious to know. 312, what's our phone number here? Oh, there it is. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200.
I thought it was Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer.
Right.
Were the other broadcast team on online, and they've done some others, I think, like Facebook Live, or maybe it was Amazon, a couple of off and on. They've done that, and it's been well received. I mean, they're both quality broadcasters who know their stuff. I mean, it's just another way to watch the game.
That's awesome, and the women aren't on the sidelines doing the reporting and the fun hats.
How about that?
Love it.
The deal with Amazon, it's a two-year deal with the NFL for like $130 million for supplementary rights to 11 Thursday night football games per season. For Amazon, the business arrangement is another chance to wedge itself deeper into its consumers' lives and potentially expand its business, assuming that is possible. So, you know, what was I reading yesterday? Oh, the ratings for NBA, for basketball, those ratings are down. I haven't seen anything in particular about the NFL this year, but I think more people will probably, as the smart TVs proliferate and streaming becomes routine, there's probably going to be more and more of these opportunities to choose what telecast you see on sports events.
Yeah, and I mean, some, like ESPN, has experimented with multiple casts where, for instance, on the baseball All-Star game, where you can watch the sabermetrics guys with the heavy statistical emphasis as opposed to the standard broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. And remember the experiment with the game without announcers?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
NBC, it was a New York Jets game many years ago. But it still had, like, the public address announcer, so at least they identified the players that way.
Yeah. And am I the only one who is thinking about baseball and not football? Because the winter meetings start Monday in San Diego.
Yeah, next week.
And I guess for the Cubs, well, they've got to fill the Cole Hamill spot. And for the White Sox, they need, what, a right fielder and at least one starting pitcher?
Well, they got to go out and get a starting pitcher, and I think that that's something that Rick Hahn has made clear they're out to do, and they made a very generous offer to Zach Wheeler this week, and he ended up spurning that offer and signing, more or less, I guess, for personal reasons, signing with the Phillies because his wife is from New Jersey. And I don't know about you, Bob, but sometimes that can have an impact on your decision-making.
You think?
Yes.
Happy wife, happy life, and all of that. Yeah, sure. Well,
but it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think both those teams are going to be active, if not next week, in the days following immediately.
Yeah, and do you think this is the year that the Sox are going to really make some noise? That this is the year that they finally
do it? It feels that way. Yeah, I mean, I think they're trending that way, and I think that we've got enough evidence that teams are able to make that leap when everything kind of comes together. Look, the Cubs gave them a blueprint for it. I mean, the Cubs in 2015 really, they took a bigger leap than the White Sox would have to get into contention next year.
But people forget this. The Cubs were, I mean, luck does enter into it. All of those, so many of their rookies developed so quickly. Doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen, but you saw the White Sox make some big strides last season. I think it could be a really interesting year in baseball on both sides of town. I'm anxious to see what happens on the north side. They've got some big decisions to make, and they got some guy. I mean, already a guy who's been a key player for them, Addison Russell, isn't coming back. So who else might be gone from this team next year? And then the White Sox with a young team that's right on the brink. They got some guys coming off, some pitchers coming off surgeries. How will they recover? I'm excited to see what they do.
And I'm excited for warmer weather. And yes, we're really going to be excited about that next week when we get a cold snap. Not too bad today, just a little bit colder than yesterday. We will get you caught up on everything here momentarily. And then after the 6 a.m. report, we've got the top six stories for you at 6 o'clock on this Friday.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 at 6.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Yes, here we go. Mayor Lightfoot will be in Iowa today and is scheduled to take the stage with Democratic presidential candidate Mayor Pete for a public question and answer session. It's part of an event that pairs city leaders who haven't endorsed in the presidential race with a candidate. The Bears. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a little sound effect for the next one. Thank you. The Bears beat the Cowboys. 31-24 was the final. They have won four of their last five games. Now they're 7-6. Mitch Trubisky had three touchdown passes and added another rushing. Next week, they're in Green Bay. That's the Sunday game, noon on Fox. We'll talk to Dan Hampton about all of this coming up after the 7:30 news this morning. Federal prosecutors in New York alleged in a new indictment filed yesterday on R. Kelly, the R&B star bribed an Illinois official to get a fake ID for an unnamed female a day before he secretly married 15-year-old singer Ayla in 1994. Kelly, then 27, married her in a secret ceremony with falsified paperwork that gave her ages 18. In Illinois, someone must be a minimum of 18 to marry without parental consent. Is that supposed to be like Steve crumbling up a news?
Sometimes
story?
There's a duck also.
I see.
I didn't know that you were going to have real paper up there to crumble.
Also, Uber, as we mentioned, released its first report detailing unsafe incidents in the U.S. The numbers are shocking. In 2018, 58 people were killed in crashes during Uber trips, 9 murdered, and more than 3,000 sexually assaulted. Separately, 19 people sued Lyft this week for failing to prevent drivers from sexually assaulting them, then ignoring their complaints. Vanna White will host the long-running Wheel of Fortune beginning on Monday when the program's two-week Secret Santa giveaway promotion kicks off. The episodes were taped in November. Pat Sajak is recuperating following emergency surgery for a blocked intestine. Pat and Vanna hit a major milestone, show number 7,000 back in May. Both are under contract through 2022.
Can't wait to hear that.
And Leonard Miller, an 88-year-old war veteran from Canton, Ohio, saves a 10-year-old girl from a vicious attack by her family's pit bull with a Christmas nutcracker ornament. He didn't have time to grab his baseball bat, so he picked up a plastic nutcracker Christmas ornament to use it as a weapon to fend off the dog. Is there a big close
that's
here?
All today
yeah, there it is.
For the top six at six.
No more!
6:13. Lou Manfredini joins us shortly. And if you would like to be Lou's first caller, now's the time to call. 312-981-7200 for Lou Manfredini coming up. 312-981-7200. Something from Bob Surratt's record collection coming up momentarily. Mr. Fix-It standing by if you'd like to be Lou's first caller. 312-981-7200. If you've got some sort of home improvement or other question in that category for Lou Manfredini, 312-981-7200. Lou's first caller coming right up.
It's time to learn it all. You're on Lou's first call.
Hello.
Lou Homes First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
Good morning there, Mr. Fix-It at Channel 9. How are you? Oh, wait a minute. Does this button need to be pressed? Yeah, I think so. Let's try it again. Well, let me just tell the editor. We'll edit that out and then go right to Lou saying this. Lou?
Hey, Bob Surratt. Good morning.
How you doing?
Hey, it's so nice to be with you.
good to talk to you. And we'll get to a call in just a second. First of all, what are you up to these days? People calling about seasonal things, as always?
I get a lot of calls. About winterizing. There's a lot of people last minute want to replace windows, or I do get this question a lot, because people are getting estimates to do their roof, and they're saying, is it too cold to do my roof? I mean, is there a bad time to do a roof? And I tell people all the time, the only really time you want to stay away from putting on a roof is in the middle of a rainstorm.
Good thinking, Lou.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't matter if it's cold. I mean, roofing contractors in our area can work, all throughout the year. I was just down in Florida on business, and I was meeting with some contractors down there, and it's, obviously such a different lifestyle down there, because their construction season is 12 months a year. There's no hiccup or anything down there. And what a difference that would have made. Had I been smarter, 30 years ago and starting my business, I would have been down there.
Now, I think you've been pretty smart, my friend. I think it's worked out well for you. Harry from Antioch is the first caller for you today. Good morning, Harry. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing well, thank you.
Say hello to Lou Manfredini and give us your Mr. Fix-It question.
Hello, Lou. Just bought a new home. It's built in 2017.
Okay.
Unfinished basement and three egress windows. During the real cold spell, they were sweating. There was so much condensation on the frames. What are my options?
Okay, so the condensation, when you get the condensation on the inside, that's where you're getting it all? Like, you can wipe it off with a rag?
Not on the glass, on the frame,
the frames are made of what?
I believe metal.
They're metal, aluminum, or fiberglass?
Metal. I'm going to stay with.
Really? Okay. And it's a brand new home.
2017, right? Yeah.
If it in fact is metal, the issue there is the difference between the temperature inside and out, and the moisture level inside your home is just too high. Now, this is the time of year that we're in right now is a big transition time for a lot of homes. Many people will experience high moisture on the inside of glass windows, especially new windows that are sealed and don't allow any air to escape. We need the cold weather to be consistently cold. These days in the 40s don't help us at all, because the humidity levels outside are higher, and then that translates inside the home. What I would do is buy a small humidistat that you can place on a counter in one of those rooms and leave it there for 24 hours. They cost about $10 at the hardware store, and you will read the amount of humidity that you have in that home. If it's over 50%, that's your problem. And we need to somehow dehumidify the home, which can literally sounds crazy, but it can be as easy as opening up a window. Or, depending on how your furnace is set up, many times adding a fresh air intake into the cold air intake of your furnace can help to circulate clean air throughout the home and temper that humidity. The metal part of it, if it continues to happen, it could be a flaw that frame itself is not insulated, which I highly doubt, but that could be an issue as well. One way to short-term eliminate it would be to take a small box fan in that room, kind of pointed towards a wall on low, kind of away from you, but just to circulate some air, and that should cut down the issue short-term.
Lou, would it kill you to just go to Harry's house in Antioch? It would be a lot easier.
I've been to Antioch. It's a lovely community.
Always good to be with you, Mr. Fix-It.
You got it, Bob. Yeah. Nice to hear you.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, sir. Do we have time to go into the record collection? Why not? December 6th. It's an important date. Back in 1988 on this day, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Roy Orbison died of heart failure. He was only 52. And this is interesting. Also on December 6th, in 2011, Barbara, his second wife, died. 23 years to the day that Roy died. I remember seeing Roy Orbison at the Park West in the early 80s. He was sensational. And I got to meet him then. I was working for CBS2, did an interview, and I've got to find this. I think I have it on 3/4-inch videotape. I've got to get it transferred somehow. I haven't figured out how to do all that yet, but I seem to recall him saying to me that at one point he had a chance to manage the Beatles in the United States, but he was too busy. Can you imagine? He toured with them in 1963 in the UK, and it's funny because the billing changed during the tour, because originally the Beatles opened for Roy Orbison, if you can imagine that, and during the tour, when the Beatles exploded, of course, it flipped, and Orbison opened for the Beatles. And, of course, 25 years later, George Harrison worked with him in the Traveling Wilburys. One of my favorite Orbison songs, lesser-known hits, you may remember from the David Lynch movie Blue Velvet. Listen to the range of his voice on this from the winter of 63, In Dreams.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, and just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away into the mist. Softly say the silent prayer, like dreamers do. Then I fall asleep to dream my dreams of you. In dreams I walk with you. If I cry, I remember that you said
John Lennon always idolized Roy Orbison, loved his voice, and you can hear why. It's 6:28 almost, and a reminder that Lou Manfredini's First Call was sponsored by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy-efficient windows. Take an aspirin and also have some avocado. Very important for your health. We'll get to those health news bits, and it's holiday travel time, and I don't know about you, but I have surfed every site on the internet. That's what I do in my spare time. And of all the travel sites, the best one is JohnnyJet.com. And here with us this morning is Johnny Jet himself. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you for the nice plug.
Well, it's always great to talk to you. And before we get into some travel news and tips, briefly, your story is really amazing because you were a guy who didn't like to travel, and now it's your business, it's your life. Fill us in a little bit.
Yeah, so I grew up in Connecticut, was always amazed with travel, but I was afraid to fly. It just blew my mind that you can get on a plane and just in a couple hours be somewhere, you know, from a freezing cold place to hot and sunny. And but when I was afraid to fly, I got over my fear, and I just realized it's so much better to be able to see the world and explore. And I went to Hong Kong, was my first international destination. I just really got the travel bug. And I was dating a girl, by the way, who only flew first class and business class. I never knew what it was like on the other side of that curtain, but I had to find ways to sit next to her up front, and and there's ways to do it.
Yeah, you know all the secrets. And now, how many miles do you travel? Do you fly every year?
You know, I'm cutting back. I'm definitely cutting my carbon footprint, but I used to fly. You know, I still fly about 100,000 miles a year, but I'm trying to cut back and not do as many trips. I mean, I've gone to Hawaii for dinner before. I've gone to, you know, New Zealand for a day or two, Japan for a day.
And that's why you know all, including whether or not people like me are completely out of luck because we haven't purchased our airline tickets yet for Christmas time travel. So deals out of Chicago, is there such a thing this time of year?
Yeah, you know what? You should have definitely booked your ticket earlier. You know, I was pricing stuff out. I wrote a post in late September, and there were still a lot of good deals. Right now, you have to be flexible. So if you can be flexible, you can do it. So it depends where you want to go. So I actually just tweeted out a post that has 10 tips on how to find cheap Christmas flights. And I used New York as an example, but if you hit those links and you change it to Chicago, and I'm using Google Flights, by the way, which I think is one of the best things, tools to really find your flights. But note that they do not do Southwest Airlines. So you always have to go to southwest.com to check their fares as well, especially if you're checking bags, because Southwest includes two check bags and the other guys don't. And actually, a lot of the cheap fares are on Spirit, and they'll charge you for carry-on bags. If you want to put a carry-on bag in the overhead, they're going to charge you. You know, they can charge you up to $60 just for that. So always keep that in mind. You always got to look at the fine print. But there are deals. You know, I know you like going down to South Florida, and I was just checking them out. You just have to really be flexible and leave. You know, if you can leave like the 17th of December or even the 19th, you can find good deals. It starts getting more expensive every day after that. But you know, instead of going to Miami, look at alternate airports like Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale is much cheaper than Miami, and it's only 26 miles away. So, again, be flexible with your dates, your airports, and your times, and you should be okay.
But as you know now, with kids, it's hard to do that. Although your kids are young, in the infant category. So, but when they start school, it's going to be more complicated, isn't it?
I know, and I hear it, and I'm dreading it. I'm like telling my wife we need a homeschool. She's like, we're not homeschooling. But that's a whole other segment.
Yeah. Okay, so you like Google Flights. If you're searching for good fares and deals, Google Flights is what you like.
And Kayak does a good job, too.
And those deals you mentioned that you tweeted out, are those available at johnnyjet.com as well?
They sure are. Okay. I also have a newsletter where I put out a lot of different travel news, deals, and tips, and you know, there's all kinds of tricks you can do, by the way. So, you know, I always like to use it, you know, sometimes buy two tickets. So one time I was going to Sardinia and not a nonstop flight, but, you know, if I was buying a ticket from like New York or Chicago to Sardinia, it's like $3,000. But if I bought two tickets, one from Chicago to London, and then bought a whole separate one from London to Sardinia, it dropped the price down to $700.
Mm.
So look at that, but you always got to make sure that you leave plenty of time in between, because a lot of times they go out of different airports, or if like in London, I was landing in Heathrow and going out of Stansted. So, but you can save a lot of money that way, and if you get two trips out of one, I'd spend the night in London every time I would do that. and it makes a big difference.
You're the man. For more, go to his website. He is Johnny Jett. The site is johnnyjett.com, the most comprehensive travel site in the universe. John, thanks for getting up early with us this morning. Always great to talk to you. Regards to the family.
Thank you. Take care. Yours, too.
Okay. We'll talk to you down the road. And health news you can use is coming right up. Let me change here into my white lab coat. This gives me more credibility. I'm not a doctor, but I'm playing one on radio.
Looks good on you, here's some
part. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. We have interesting health headlines this morning. Now, this is the latest on aspirin. And from time to time, we get these reports, and oftentimes they're conflicting. It's very confusing. So as they say, consult your local physician, or they say something like that anyway. But daily low-dose aspirin might reduce your risk of dying from cancer, particularly if you're overweight. According to new research, taking aspirin three or more times a week, low-dose aspirin, is associated with a lower risk of cancer death as well as death for any reason, according to this new study. Aspirin's protective effect appears particularly pronounced among people who are overweight, those with a body mass index of 25 to 29.9. Low-dose aspirin reduced overall cancer death risk by 15%. And all-cause death by 19% among more than 146,000 people who participated in a cancer screening trial conducted between 1993 and 2008, according to the study's authors. Overweight folks also experienced a marked decline in their risk of death from gastrointestinal cancer, about 28%, and colon cancer, 34%. Have an avocado. Don't worry about aspirin. Don't worry about vitamins. Just have some avocado with your breakfast. Researchers have discovered a unique fat molecule in avocados, which demonstrates a positive effect on reducing insulin resistance by assisting the body in the complete oxidation of fatty acids in mitochondria. Results were positive in an animal study and human subjects. Avocados, they are saying, may help with weight management and blood sugar control, reducing your risk of obesity and diabetes. Avocados help you feel full longer. They're packed with fiber. They're high in amounts of several essential vitamins and minerals, including the B vitamins, potassium, and also vitamin K. Mrs. Surratt goes through avocados like crazy. I'm always at the store fondling the avocados.
Excuse me?
And, you know, because it's tricky, you know. You want to get
Yeah, you don't want them too smushy, but
right.
You don't want them real
right.
hard either.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And you probably heard this story about the cell phones, the smartphones, and the face injuries. If you missed it, they're now adding facial cuts, bruises, and fractures to the risks from cell phones and carelessly using them. According to a study published yesterday, there was a spike in U.S. emergency room treatment for these minor injuries.
How do you cut yourself on a cell phone? I don't get this.
I think people fall. A lot of the problem came from people walking and texting.
But there's nothing real sharp on a cell phone.
The research was led by a facial plastic surgeon whose patients included a woman who broke her nose when she dropped her phone on her face.
Well, I can see that.
It must be one of those new large phones. Yeah. What, did she have one of the first cell phones, like a brick?
The real clunkers.
Over at Rutgers, the researchers said experience treating patients with cell phone injuries prompted them to look into the problem. They analyzed 20 years of emergency room data and found an increase in cell phone injuries starting after 2006. That's around the time the first smartphones were introduced. And now we have, let's see, what company to thank for this? Post-Consumer Brands and Hostess Brands. They've come out with a new cereal that will... That will be a new reason to put a blindfold on your kids at the grocery store. Twinkie cereal. That's right. It's hitting grocery shelves this month. The cereal may rival the actual snack cakes for sugar content. Of course, the experts suggest giving kids protein for breakfast. But among sugary cereals now, this is going to probably be number one. And it is the latest product from a collaboration between Post Consumer Brands and Hostess Brands. They've already added to our collective fat intake by coming out with donuts and honey buns cereals.
Are those the snack cakes that you would choose as the cereal? You know?
You know what? I buy what I think is a healthy cereal, like a healthy kind of granola or something. And then my wife just grabs the box from me and points out the sugar content. Because there is some sugar.
In the healthy
stuff? Yeah, well, yeah, you'd be surprised.
What fun is that?
You'd be surprised. It's just like orange juice. And people kind of by now know, but orange juice is loaded with sugar.
And
also that was healthy.
A lot of yogurts. Have a high sugar content.
Thanks, Dave. I just ate my yogurt.
Well, not all
with
yogurts, Mayor.
Granola.
Not
Greek yogurt, Dave. No wonder I just
That's
woke
right.
up.
That's right. Right.
Well, yeah, and then there's you got your 2%, your no fat, your you know, it's very complicated.
Skim.
Anyway, the experts say Twinkie cereal might be just as unhealthy as the Twinkies themselves.
I'd go for that. Make Ding Dong cereal. That doesn't sound very good, but
yeah, I spend a lot of time in the cereal aisle. I do, and I read the the ingredients and look for how much sugar is in there. But apparently, no sugar I bring home is approved in our household. I haven't found one
yet. How about Bran Flakes? My grandpa lived to be 102, and he ate Bran Flakes every morning.
Really?
Yeah.
It
was fine.
I hear good things about Bran Flakes and also Grape Nuts. Probably the worst tasting cereal of all time.
Yeah. It's hard grapes. Yeah,
right.
But
wait, what was the old, what was it, Seinfeld? Or just people who made fun of Seinfeld? Grape Nuts. Well, what is it? There's no grape in it. There's no nut in it. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, a lot of the cereals that we had growing up had the word sugar in the name.
Oh, sure.
Sugar
Pops.
Frosted Flakes.
Yeah.
Sugar Pops, and then they took the sugar out
sugar
of it.
Sugar Smacks.
But in the name.
And do I have this right that in the stores they'll put the Twinkie cereal down low so the kids can have at it, and your quote healthy end quote granolas are up top?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the health report for today. Any questions? See your physician. Coming attractions here on the Steve Cochran Show with Bob Surratt. What's going on with television sets and these deals now? Are they really the best deals you're going to have all year? And which TV should you buy? And are they all smart TVs? And what's with 4K? And do you really need it? We have an expert coming on to talk with us about that shortly after 7 o'clock. So hope you can stay with us for that. Just looking at that story about the Twinkie cereal, and they're pointing out how many grams of sugar, how many calories in a cup. Well, the problem is your kid's going to have like 9 cups of it, not 1 cup. I love that when they have a package of popcorn or some snack or whatever, per serving calories. Yeah. I'm going to eat the whole bag. Come on. Are you confused about what television to buy? Do you have some sort of home electronics or audio-video question? We have just the guy to help us all here from Apt, everybody's favorite store up there on Milwaukee Avenue. Say good morning to Carl Prouty. How you doing, Carl?
Hi, I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
Good talking to you. And we have a lot of questions, so let's get right to it. First of all, true or false, this really is the best time of year to buy a new television set.
100% true. Everything, and things are still on sale even after the whole Black Friday through Cyber Monday weekend. So you can still find just amazing deals out there right now.
Now, I kind of used to keep up with all the technology, but now with 4K and 8K and everything else, I'm out of it. So help me out here, because sometimes the new technology isn't worth buying because there's nothing available to watch in that format. Set us straight.
So that's partially true. Yes, there's not very much content out there in 8K yet. The big advantage there is if you're planning on buying a larger TV and sitting in the same spot of your room, having the higher resolution makes it look better. You're not going to be able to see little individual pixels. So if you went from like a 55-inch 1080p TV to a 75-inch 4K TV, you can sit in the same spot and just have a better picture.
Do you have to buy, for example, Apple TV anymore, or is a smart TV, are all the smart TVs equipped with all of that?
So the smart TVs are going to have most of what you can find on an Apple TV or a Roku device. It's laid out differently, though. So some people will benefit still from having an Apple TV or a Roku just because they are a little bit broader. They do have more apps to choose from and a little more content available. And some people just find them easier to use than the smart menus that you have that come with the smart TVs.
There was a story in the news yesterday about the smart TV spying on you, and because a lot of the voice activation systems have microphones in the remote, and the sets have little cameras built in, that you can be watched. Should we be concerned about this?
I saw that story too. I don't know that it's a huge concern. Actually, we don't sell any TVs here that have cameras built in, so it's not something you have to worry about buying any TV from us. A lot of them do have microphones. They're in all the cases, there's always an option to turn that microphone off. You'll lose some of the ability to do some of the things that the TV is capable of. But overall, I mean, if you own a smartphone, there's a camera on there. There's a microphone on there. So there's always kind of something around that's capable of listening or seeing. So a TV is not really any more dangerous than anything like that.
Hang on if you can, Carl, because I want to ask you about cord cutting and these folks who seem to have found a way to lower their bills for cable and so forth.
Sure.
Now with all this streaming, there are some complicated issues. If you have a question, some sort of tech question for Carl Prouty of Apt, get on the line and we'll get as many as we can in at 312-981-7200. That's the number to call, 312-981-7200. That's also our text number. So more to come on that. On the Steve Cochran Show, Bob Surratt, acting human alarm clock. We're talking technology with the technologist from Apt Electronics, Carl Prouty. And your questions, if you'd like to get in on this, at 312-981-7200. Carl, I was talking to a neighbor of mine and getting the lowdown on how we were comparing what we pay for television and cable and so forth and so on. And they're telling me, well, we only pay like, 83 cents now because we cut the cord and we've got this and that. So what about the people who are getting free TV and some of these services that we're paying a lot for? It seems to me that there's no way to really get a lot of the movie channels and all the things we like watching by cutting the cord. What am I missing here?
Well, yeah, that's still a bit of an issue. So you can cut the cord and get rid of cable, but then you have to keep in mind you still do have to have an internet subscription, so you are going to be paying for that. And then what I've found to be the best way is kind of finding a streaming service that has the most content that you like, and maybe sticking with one or two of those. So you have like Netflix or Hulu, and now you have Disney Plus throwing their hat in the ring. So there's lots to choose from where you can get certain things that you like. But then if you add all those up, it can get you right back to kind of a fairly high price point. So I found just pick a couple that have a lot of stuff that you like and kind of stick with those. And in general, you're going to be really happy with that.
You know, we're talking about these great new television sets with the wonderful high definition 4K, 8K, and now streaming is becoming more popular. The video from those streaming services, is that inferior? I mean, or is that high quality as well?
That's going to be high quality as well. In fact, you can generally find more 4K content through those streaming services than you can through cable. So you do have the opportunity to see some higher resolution footage that's going to look better on these newer TVs.
Want to take some questions from folks who are on their way to work or just barely waking up but do have an electronics issue? Let's go to Diane And Diane's in Glenview, where Apt is located. Diane, go ahead for Carl Prouty of Apt. What's your question?
Well, I think I can make my question a little more simple. It has to do with replacing two modems, one for internet and one for television, with one modem, which evidently is required now. I am a dinosaur. I've been in the house for 20 years. Didn't think that was a problem. I finally located a replacement modem for the one I don't have anymore, which will serve both purposes. I had to go to Bezos and Mr. Amazon to buy a replacement, which is a lot of money, but it's less than renting it forever. From
Diane, did you say this was a simple, easy question? I'm already lost. So what exactly is your question?
Okay. Is a landline still a landline phone still necessary for a telephone?
Carl?
I mean, you have to have a number.
Not if you have a cell phone. My parents, in fact, just dropped their landline after having it for the same phone number for 45 years. And it was a big deal to them. But you don't need a landline anymore because a lot of the stuff comes through like a digital cable coming into your house. So it's not required any longer.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. Now, you don't sound like a dinosaur to me, by the way. Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. Here's Steve from Palatine. You're next.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say that I got a Roku stick for one of my televisions and a Roku TV for another one, for another room. And we paid $5.99 a month. We use antenna TV. We get like 65 channels on the antenna. And I get like 3,000 movies for $5.99 a month. So I don't understand where people are saying it's going to cost you that much money.
Yeah, what about that? That's what I was talking to you about, Carl.
Sure. Well, so there's still a lot of free content out there. But you have the option with these streaming services to get more. But if you're finding that what's available at that $5.99 price point with the Roku works for you, then that's great. There's going to be a lot of people who can take advantage of that and can be happy at that price point. There are other things, though, that you can't get through that. And that's where you're going to wind up going to something like a Netflix or a Hulu. So if you're finding that the content available there works for you, then that's great. Then you're in Netflix, really good shape.
Yeah, I get Netflix, Hulu, Roku. I get like 3,000 TV shows, movies.
Hey, Steve, stop waving your 50-cent bill in front of my $290 bill, okay? Thanks for the call.
I used to have that bill, too. Yeah,
have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Here's Maria from Oak Brook. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Carl. Yeah, quick question. So my mom, she's 89 years old. She's a badass Greek lady. She lives by herself, and she has a beautiful townhouse and three TVs that are quite ancient. And my brother and I, like, you know, switch off kind of thing with her, just keep an eye on her and stuff. And we want to update everything, and, you know, the TVs, the cable in her house, currently paying, you know, not even the cable service, over $200. So I'm just confused on what to do. Her TVs are old. They're probably like 10 years old. Do I need to switch out her TVs to also update all these new streaming services that are available out there?
That's a good question. TVs, yeah. Carl?
Yeah, her existing TVs, I don't know if they would accommodate what these streamline services now.
So there are going to be streaming options available even on those older TVs. You're not necessarily going to get the same type of picture quality on them, so you can add something like a Roku that has analog audio and video outputs. But it's almost, if they're that old, it's probably worth replacing the TVs because of how low the pricing is now. You're looking at, for a 55-inch TV, you can get those starting at under $400 at the moment. So it's... And you're getting the newer technology, you're getting the better picture, you're getting smart features built in so you don't have to add anything like a Roku or an Apple TV. So that would be my recommendation just because of how good the pricing is right now.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you for listening, Maria.
The pricing is as good now as it is after Super Bowl.
I've been doing this for 17 years. I've found that the pricing right now, right around Black Friday and Cyber Monday, is still going to be a bit lower than what you're going to find around Super Bowl time.
Plus, Maria, if you go to app and mention my name, they'll give you a complimentary piece of chocolate from the bowls that they have out there. Have a good day.
Yes. Thanks. All right, you too. Thank you.
Okay. Let me get in a couple of quick questions that were texted to us from 773. Which is better, OLED or UHD? What's UHD?
Well, UHD is just ultra high definition. So OLEDs will show you UHD, if that makes sense. It's capable of showing that UHD type of picture. What they probably meant was LED.
Okay.
And it depends. That's a very divisive thing, because some people love OLED because it has infinite black levels. So when there's a dark image on the screen, it really appears very natural, where LED can sometimes be a little bit grayer, but OLEDs don't get as bright. So if you're putting the TV in a room that gets a lot of natural light, LED would probably be your better way to go. If it's going in a room that's often dark when you're watching TV, OLED is going to look phenomenal.
And did they still even make plasma television sets?
No, unfortunately, I actually still have one of those in my basement I bought probably 9 years ago, and I love it, but no, unfortunately, they do not make that anymore. But that being said, OLED is probably the closest picture to a plasma that's out there.
And one more text from 815, is YouTube TV a good choice?
Yeah, YouTube TV is a great choice. That's another one where you have different options available within YouTube TV. I've talked to a lot of my coworkers actually use it, and they love it. So it's one of those things where, again, you kind of have to look and see what it offers, and if that matches up with what you typically watch, then it's a great choice. And because people have different interests, you can kind of cater one of those streaming services to what you watch the most.
Carl Prouty, he knows his stuff, as is the case with everybody you run into over at Apt Electronics on Milwaukee Avenue in Glenview, one of the great family businesses that make this area so unique. Carl, thanks for spending some time with us this morning, and we always appreciate what you folks do out there, and say hi to Billy and John and the whole family, will you?
I sure will. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, well, we'll talk to you soon, and we'll talk to Dan Hampton coming up next. Well, it looks like Sundays will be great in front of the television after all. Bears looking good. Dan Hampton now, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Here's good old number 99. How you doing, Dan? Nope, let me press your button. Dave Ennett and I are anxiously awaiting your speaking. Hi, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having me. And yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, the Bears, once again, are relevant and puts a little juice into the holiday season, especially after watching them finally come together and put together their best, not only game plan, but, you know, executing the game plan, the game that we've waited on all season. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Just in time for you, Bob.
Yeah. So explain something to me, and I know nothing about anything, but why wasn't Trubisky running a lot earlier in the season?
You know, here's the thing, and I know and nobody really wants to talk about it, but ego is a big part of what's going on, and, you know, a lot of the game of football. You know, the coaches want to be smarter than everyone else, and you know, we've seen that time and time again. Whenever we've been able to get a little something going against the LA Chargers, we got in the offset eye and we started running the ball, and we're finding success and drives for touchdowns. But oh no, all of a sudden now we have to start doing something else because we're so smart. Well, in a lot of ways, the quarterbacks of the NFL, they're told if they pull the ball down and take off in a run, much like you see young quarterbacks, well, that means you're a dummy and that you're not smart and you can't read defenses and you're not proficient enough at your craft. And so to their own detriment, the quarterbacks will refuse to do that. And so much of the time, we're seeing it now with, you know, the guy Lamar Jackson. We've seen it with Russell Wilson over the years. If a quarterback pulls the ball down and takes off and runs for a first down a number of times, especially early in the ball game, it really gives the defense fits because everybody has got a job and a coverage and this and that, and nobody's really accounting for the quarterback. And we saw last night the Cowboys had no concept of how to adjust to that. And we saw Trubisky run the ball 10 times for over 60 yards, which that was a big reason why we were able to continue drives. And finally, for the first time all year, you know, he got in a position where he threw three touchdown passes and ran for one. And it was the most successful the offense had been all year. So I think there's a lot to that. And the other part is, you know, the great Ed Obradovich and I talk about it week after week on the post-game show. You know, this kid, he'll never be Tom Brady, but let him do things that give him a chance to be successful. A lot of that is moving the pocket, bootlegs, and creating different angles and different pressure on defenses. We saw that, especially in the first and second quarter. So there was a lot of good things that happened last night. Hopefully we can build on.
Dan Hampton, one of the great things about the Bears' performance last night, we don't have to worry about you and Obradovich blowing a gasket due to high blood pressure on the radio talking about the game. We're thankful for that.
Yeah, we didn't have to have a hazmat team in the studio last night. Taking care of it.
Well, Amp, let's talk about the defense a little bit because, you know, they start shorthanded already with Hicks out one more game, and then Amukamara didn't play last night. He was inactive. And then they lose Roquan Smith early on. But if you really look at it, after giving up that opening drive, the Bears didn't give Dallas anything until after the Montgomery fumble. And by then, the Bears seemed to have control of the game. I know Dallas went down and scored. Bears came right back and answered. But overall, the defense really never let Prescott get comfortable back there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, you got to tip the cap. You know, this was an offense. I think they were number one in the league coming in, at least going into the Thanksgiving game. So, you know, hey, this wasn't Detroit or some other, you know, tomato can. But at the end of the day, you do have to say, hey, wow, they're making plays and they're stopping people and they're doing it with some backline players. Now, the guy that really jumped out at me last night, you know, Nick Kwiatkowski has played great football, hard, tough, physical football, which we here in Chicago greatly appreciate for the last 5 weeks since Danny Trevathan was injured. But Roquan last night left the game, but number 57, Kevin Pierre-Louis, the kid that we took to task because he had blundered into the kicker over in the game in London and put us in position where we lost that game. But boy, did he redeem himself last night. He was the most physical player on our defense last night. And I got to tell you, he kind of emboldens you when you're thinking, well, you know, we got backup. He made a lot of good plays. Not only that, but, you know, Amukamara being gone, Kevin Tolliver in his first start actually held up pretty darn well. And so there was a lot of reasons to say, you know what, I know it's kind of a reach, and I think somebody put it at 5% chance of, you know, actually making it into the playoffs. But, hey, that's all anybody wants in life is a chance. And that's what this team is kind of, you know, using and kind of having a redeemer portion of the season after they put us in a position where everybody was so negative about the team. Hey, they come off with three straight wins. And who knows what's going to happen a week from Sunday. But a lot of good reasons for the Bears to believe, hey, they can go up to Green Bay and come away with a win.
You know, they may need that depth, too. And Pierre Lewis performing as well as he did with this Roquan Smith injury could be bad if what Matt Nagy indicated after the game is right. But here's another thing we haven't really talked about. Bears found, they found tight ends. Dan, I mean, these guys produced last night. I think the two tight ends combined for 7 receptions, 92 yards, and also, you know, some key blocks and just overall really helped the offense.
Yeah, exactly. And the kid everybody wants to know about is Jesper Horsehead. I call him Jesper Horsehead, number 49. He is a very gifted young man in the sense that he, you know, he's got a lot of the traits and skills of a wide receiver, which this offense is built around the tight end. And yet we have been unable to have constant and steady production from that position. So this all, you know, bodes well, not only for the offense, but for Mitchell Trubisky. Because, you know, we know for years and years that very same Dallas offense, Jason Witten was the security blanket. You look in Kansas City, it's Kelsey. I mean, the tight end is the common denominator week after week for the offense playing well. Well, hopefully, the you know, if it's not one, it's a collection of these tight ends. They're able to, you know, do the things that we need them to do to keep moving the sticks. And, you know, Obi and I have been screaming for 2 months, Cordell Patterson, put him in.
Oh,
put
yeah.
him in the slot. Put him in, you know, as a flex tight end, do different things with him. And we saw him make a huge play on third down last night and convert and keep the offense going. And, you know, we needed every touchdown. Think about it. We won by, you know, one touchdown. So, you know, we needed all 4 of them. And at the end of the day, the offense was really doing a lot of good things. The offensive line, their best game of the year, the tight end's best game of the year, the quarterback, the game call, the game plan, the head coach. A lot of good things happened last night. And, you know, let's be realistic. Mitchell Trubisky had been taken to task, you know, the last 2 months across the nation, not just here, not just in our post game, not in the daily papers here, but the rest of the nation was really down on him. He needed a game like that to build his confidence back up and hopefully embolden them as they make this stretch run here with the last 3 games.
So now it's on to Green Bay Sunday, and it sounds like Smith will not be available Sunday, although they haven't said anything official yet, have they?
Well, but you know, when you tear a pack, I mean, that's 2 months, maybe longer. So, wow. You know, it looks like he's out of the picture. But again, to the Bears' credit, Ryan Bace, we had a handy replacement in Pierre Lewis. And like I said, when you go to Green Bay, you want some guys who want to brawl, and this Kevin Pierre-Lewis looks like a guy that, you know, he'll jack you up at the drop of a hat. So I don't know how much of a drop-off it is, but it doesn't matter. We're going to get Akeem Hicks back, Mukamara be back. We'll find out exactly how they match up with our buddy Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, the one thing that really jumped out at me is, hey, the team was resilient. The Cowboys open up with a 17-play drive for a touchdown. We go down and we throw an interception at the 1-yard line. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to say, well, the Bears are going to cave in. No, they turned everything around. They came back and they won the game. And guess what, Mr. Camp? Our punter didn't even get on the field until the third quarter, 6 minutes left.
Yeah, how about that?
Who would have thought that would happen? So, there was a lot of good things last night, and you got to tip the cap. The Bears made us all proud.
It's still a tough road at Green Bay a week from Sunday. Kansas City here in a night game, and then at Minnesota. The Vikings with the team immediately ahead of the Bears as far as the wild card. Detroit this Sunday. All of a sudden, the Bears have to be rooting for the Lions to go in there and win. Then they go to the Chargers. They play the Packers at home, and then they host the Bears. And the Rams are the other team kind of in that mix in those three. So going to be interesting to see what happens here over the next couple of weeks.
You know, and if you were a carnival barker and you wanted to sell tickets, you would love the position the Bears would put you in. Everybody's going to tune in because it's going to be must-see TV to see how this goes down the stretch.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I could never see Mr. Danimal in one of those uniforms the Bears were wearing last night.
Yeah.
I, you know what? I turned to OB and I said, you never had to wear this stuff, did you? No.
Dan Hampton, always great to catch up with you, sir, and have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, Bob. Go Bears!
Yes, sir. And coming attractions here on the Steve Cochran Show, the Dean Richards Entertainment Report to the Nation will be carried by this station. And everything you need to know this morning, that's next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Time to say good morning to Mr. Channel 9 Entertainment News, Dean Richards. Hey, Dean. How you doing? Happy Friday to you.
What a nice surprise.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly what I said when the alarm clock went off at 3:30, but it's good to be here, good to be talking to everybody, including you.
I use that same language almost every day when the clock goes off.
I know we're going to talk about various items today, but can we start with movies?
Oh, yeah.
Because now I know you've seen everything, so I'm looking forward to seeing the new Clint Eastwood directed movie. I'm also looking forward to seeing Dirty Waters and also Marriage Story. Now, you've probably seen all of those, right?
I have seen all of them.
All good?
Yeah, really, really, really good. Marriage Story is going to be up for Best Picture of the Year. It's a very simple, as you know, movies are all special effects and razzle dazzle. And if you're Martin Scorsese, you say that they're a carnival ride. They're not really movies. This one is just a straight story about a couple whose marriage has sort of run out of gas. They love each other. They just can't live with each other. And they amicably decide to get a divorce and separate. And then the lawyers get involved, and it gets messy and ugly and turns into a whole different story for these two lovely people. It's Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, and I think it's one of the best movies of the year.
It's on Netflix now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is on Netflix now, and in a few theaters. That's the way Netflix and Amazon Prime and some of the other online platforms are doing it now. They release them into a few theaters at first. And that way they can become eligible for Academy Award consideration. And then they will come up on the online platform. So you can see Marriage Story either place right now. Dark Waters, actually, is the movie with Mark Ruffalo and who else is it? Anne Hathaway. It's the true story about a corporate attorney who was first working for big corporations like DuPont, defending them until he learns from people who have complained to him that they are polluting their water and killing their farm animals with toxic waste. And it's a fascinating story, and Mark Ruffalo is great in it. That one's already in theaters as well. The Clint Eastwood movie, Clint Eastwood directed movie, excuse me, is called Richard Jewell, and it is also a true story. It's the story of the 1996 Olympic bombing in Atlanta in Centennial Park, which I'm sure you remember, where this guy was a security guard who was accused of being the bomber himself, falsely accused, as it turns out, of accused of being the bomber. And it's a up-and-coming actor whose name is Paul Michael Hauser, who plays Richard Jewell. He looks just like him. He's fantastic. But also in this movie is Sam Rockwell and Kathy Bates and John Hamm. And Clint Eastwood does another terrific job directing this motion picture. I talked with all of them yesterday. I was in Los Angeles and sat down and talked with all of them. I was also there interviewing the cast of this little movie called Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Talked to the whole cast of that. So we'll have all of those interviews coming soon as well.
And Dean, I love the picture of you and Clint Eastwood on Facebook.
Isn't that cool?
Oh my gosh.
I don't get giddy very often. I'm not starstruck very often.
You looked starstruck. You know,
I am silly giddy. Clint Eastwood's got his arm around
yes.
him.
Years and years ago, when he was out promoting Play Misty for me, he went around and talked to disc jockeys in different cities. And I remember meeting him, and he couldn't have been nicer. And his movies, as you have pointed out, Dean, they're always terrific. No fat, great stories. Yep. But back to Mark Ruffalo and Dirty Waters. He is really terrific in a movie, Zodiac. And it's one of those movies, we all have them, that when they come on, when you're flipping around, you have to watch it again and again. Zodiac, Goodfellas, and Apollo 13 are the three that I keep watching. Yeah, I stop and watch, and Mrs. Surratt will say, haven't you seen that 53 times? And
why are you watching that again?
Yeah, because I'm nuts. All right, hang on, Dean Richards.
I'm going to put Shawshank Redemption in that, in that category also, by the way.
That certainly played enough times.
Yeah.
We've got some Taylor Swift stuff and more movies and entertainment from Dean. Back with Clint Eastwood's new best friend, WGN-TV's Dean Richards.
He calls me Chicago. when he walks down the hall. You know how you've done these things where, you know, we're all set up and the floor of a hotel, and each room has a different cast member in it, and you go in and interview them. Clint Eastwood's walking down the hall, which, you know, you just want to hear the good and bad and ugly music when he's walking his theme songs. And he stops right in front of me, and he looks at me, like, gives me that Clint Eastwood squint, and he goes, Chicago. And since then, like, when he sees me, he goes, hey, Chicago, how you doing?
I thought you were going to say, he looks at me and he says, you want to do one more interview, punk? How many interviews
think
we've got here? So you're doing a contest, a Star Wars contest, right?
Yeah, WGNTV.com/contest. And you can register to win a pair of tickets to see Star Wars on after December 19th. There's, like, super... paranoid about the security of this movie. Normally, before we do the interviews with the cast, you have to see the movie so you kind of know what to talk about. They are not letting anybody see Star Wars until a day before the movie is going to open, because they're too worried that, you know, people are going to sneak, you know, some footage or tell secrets or spoilers or something like that. So you get to see it with these tickets. You get to see it when we get to see it.
Now, I think I've heard you talk about this. Isn't it often the case when they're holding back on previews and some press because they're not sure this movie is gonna work out?
Right.
There's something wrong with it. That certainly couldn't be the case here.
That is normally the case where they sometimes they won't show. Well, sometimes they won't show the movie to the press at all. Period. That's a bad sign. But sometimes they'll show it late on a Thursday night when they know everyone's going to miss their deadline for newspapers, TV, you know, for, you know, whatever it is. I'm pretty sure that's not the case with this one. This is they're just afraid of piracy and idiot reporters. And it's happened in the past where somebody will accidentally give away something from the movie, a key point of the movie. So I got to say, I don't, you know, knowing the press and how stupid we are, I got to say, I don't blame them one bit for not. I would have liked to have seen it before I talked to them, but I don't blame them. I don't trust us either.
You know what? I've thought that many times that if you had to do those interviews where, you know, as you say, you sit in a room and it's one reporter after another, you know, really, would you want to suffer that?
It's hard.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it's harder on them or harder on us.
harder on them, I think.
That might be a little bit.
What's going on the Taylor Swift beat?
Oh, she's got a new Christmas song. I can't believe she hasn't had a signature Christmas song like Mariah Carey and, you know, like everybody gets their signature Christmas song. And she's got her first one out right now. You want to hear a little bit of it?
Sure.
Got a little taste of it here right now.
My heart is a Christmas tree farm where the people would come to dance under sparkling lights, bundled up in their mittens and coats, and the cider would flow. And I just want to be there tonight. Sweet dreams of holly and ribbon, mistakes are forgiven.
Yeah, forget the light. This is the new deal here at WGN. Christmas music on the threes.
It sounds like something that would be on Glee.
And this is from Mary, who hates Taylor Swift.
Was that a compliment?
I just wanted to mention that you hate Taylor Swift.
I don't use that word.
No,
I
like Nancy Pelosi, you don't hate anyone, do you?
Right, exactly.
You know what?
I pray for her
on
all the time.
On her last concert tour, we went, and I must say, she really puts on a good show.
She does.
It's well done, and everybody seemed to enjoy it.
Is she in an elf suit in that video?
No, you know what? The song is called Christmas Tree Farm, because she actually did grow up on a Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania. And the video for the movie are home movies, home videos. I guess
this probably, is like a Hallmark they probably, situation.
They probably
going
didn't
on.
Have home movies when she was a kid 3 years ago.
Right.
But it's actual videos of her, like her parents pulling her on a sled in the snow and the actual Christmas tree farms.
All right, back to movies here for a second before we let you go, Dean. I saw the trailer last week for The Two Popes. That looks fantastic. What did you think?
Yeah, it's really good. I gave it a Dean's List B. It is Sir Anthony Hopkins, who plays Pope Benedict, who is struggling. It's like the final 6-8 months of his papacy. He meets with Cardinal Bergoglio, who is to become Pope Francis. But at the moment, he requests a meeting with Pope Benedict because he wants to resign from being cardinal. He has some disagreements with the way that the church is going, and he comes to the Holy Father to discuss all of these things. And the movie isn't it covers the transition of these two popes and these two men, one who is leaving the papacy and one who is about to take it. But it's really about the two men and their struggles, their personal struggles. Jonathan Pryce plays Pope Francis in this. They are both so good, and it's so interesting. So I am recommending that one. There's also a movie this week that's called The Aeronauts that reunites Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones, both of them from The Theory of Everything. One as up-and-coming meteorologist and the other kind of a daredevil who wants to go up in a hot air balloon. It's almost as if it was a young Tom Skilling and one of the Walendas.
Well, that's it. Wait a minute. Let me get that image in my mind for a bit.
That should be my movie quote on this. It's like Tom Skilling meets one of the Walendas. One is super scientific, all about the weather. The other is about getting the balloon up as high as possible and taking on daredevil heights. It's a very visual movie. See it on as big a screen as possible. It's a nice movie also. But, you know, all of that, when we've got Ford versus Fairlane out there, we've got Knives Out, the great murder mystery that's in theaters right now, the Mr. Rogers movie, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's a lot of good movies that are out there right now in the next couple of weeks between now and Christmas. Probably 10 more fantastic movies that are going to be opening for the holidays.
Tis the season. All right, Dean Richards, we'll let you get back there to Larry and Robin and the gang at Channel 9, and you have yourself a nice weekend, my friend.
All right, thanks, Bob. Good to talk to you.
Good talking to you. And I'm looking next door here, and in our studio, what is that, Studio B, whatever it is.
It's the performance studio.
The performance studio. It appears that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is set up for a live holiday concert. It's actually the Vernon High School Choir, and we'll talk to them.
Vernon Hills.
What did I say?
Vernon High School.
Oh, sorry.
Vernon Hills High School.
They will be performing, and we'll talk to them, and we'll talk to you a little bit more after we get you caught up on everything, and that follows a quick break here. The holiday tradition here on the Steve Cochran Show is music from area choirs, and we are going up north to tap into the talents of the Vernon Hills Choir. Sarah Castro, one of the teachers, with us. Also, Jeremy Little. Good morning, Jeremy. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
You got 26 kids standing by next door in that studio, and really, that's quite an assortment of talent you got in there. These are all students of yours?
Yes, these are the finest singers in our school. They put in a lot of hard work during the middle of the day and also in evening rehearsals, and we have a full kind of show that we do with about 23 holiday tunes, a few of which we get to share with you today.
Maybe you guys can take over the Hawthorne Mall there in Vernon Hills and just have it be a permanent entertainment venue for the Vernon Hills students who are so talented.
That sounds like a good idea. As long as we get a small cut, I'm good with that.
Okay. All right, I'll let you get into position and get the kids ready, and we'll hear the first piece of music live here in WGN from the Vernon Hills High School Choir. Go ahead.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la
the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel. Fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient yuletide now. Fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la. See the yule before us. Fa la 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 la. Sing we join us all together. Fa la 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 la. Fearless of the wind and weather. Fa la 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 la.
You know what's... let me point out that the choir, they're live. We've imported the audience via tape.
We appreciate it.
But you know what's really cool? If you if you're listening on the radio and you have access to smartphone or a computer, switch over to the live stream. Figure that out, WGNradio.com or whatever it is, and listen that way because the sound quality is phenomenal. More from Vernon Hills coming right up here. It's 8:43. Bob Surratt pretending to be awake on the Steve Cochran Show. We're leaving you with a little holiday music live from the WGN Radio studios today. And here with the Vernon Hills High School folks, we have Jeremy with us again to talk about what's going on with the kids. And there's no audition for this group. Do I have that right, Jeremy?
Well, there's no audition to be in the choirs at the school. But for this group, there's certainly an audition. These guys put in a lot of hard work. They have to be able to sight read and music really well. And they sing in a bunch of styles. We sing a pop a cappella kind of second half of the year. So these guys... our pretty advanced musicians have been practicing, taking lessons, and they put in a ton of hard work. So there is one audition at the middle of the school year for the following year.
Jeremy Little and Sarah Castro among the faculty here with the Vernon Hills High School Choir. And let me tell you, I really admire what you folks do because I'm tone deaf. And one time Harry Chapin called me up on stage during a concert to sing along with him. And after I did my little piece, he said, you sound like John Wayne. And I don't think that was a good thing. All right, nice. Let's hear a little more holiday music live from WGN. Take it away, kids.
We got you covered, Bob. So here we go. This is Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing and bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air.
What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away.
Da-da-da.
Jingle bell time is a swell time
to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and mingle and a jingle indeed. That's the jingle bell rock. Mix and mingle in a jingle indeed. That's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell rock.
Very nice. audience supplied electronically. Vernon Hills High School Choir live from our studios today. Jeremy, I know that some of the kids talk about what you do as being kind of a stress buster, almost like a study hall. Is that the way they feel about it?
Well, what we say is that it's better than a study hall, because a study hall, you just tend to waste your time. Is that right, guys?
Yeah.
You know, the phone and whatever. But this is a different way to use your brain during the school day. A lot of school, we have wonderful teachers at our high school, and we are so very blessed to be that. But sometimes school gets to be a little sit and get, where you hear some lectures and stuff. Choir and the fine arts, theater and all fine arts is a way to stand and give and to use your brain in a different way. And so we really appreciate the opportunity to do that and the support that our school gives us for these kids to be able to do that.
What if you have to finish your homework, though? Where are you supposed to go?
Then you just do it late into the night, right?
And you kids going to school today after this?
So we are very thankful to our administration. They gave us the full day off today, and we are singing at three other area elementary schools, a couple retirement homes, and then we're being fed by our school district office for lunch today. So we have a full day of caroling. Then these guys have after-school rehearsals. Some of them are in the play. And then at 6 tonight, 6 to 9 p.m. tonight, they have a rehearsal for our big show on Sunday that we have to gather for. So it's a long day for these guys.
Very nice. Appreciate all the work you're doing during this holiday season. Let's turn the microphones on next door here in the studio adjacent to our Skyline studio and hear more from the Vernon Hills kids. And Jeremy, go take it away.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little, merry little Christmas. Make the
sound great to the kids, but with your lovely scarves, you look really nice. Look like model students. But show of hands, how many have had detentions? Let's talk to Mr. Little again for a second. And by the way, you run into your old teachers, you know, no matter how old you are, you can't call them by their first name. You know what I mean, Jeremy? It's just the way it goes. So from here, tell me where you're going again.
So we have a couple elementary schools that we are going to in our community. We love to sing for the little ones and kind of brighten up the holiday spirit. And then we are at a charter senior living, which is a memory care facility in Vernon Hills. And Then our district office gives us some Jimmy John's, and we're very thankful for that.
Jimmy John's, no, that's not bad. But I was talking to the kids, and they want you to take them to a more expensive place.
Sure, we could do Uncle Julio's if you want.
Thanks to the Vernon Hills High School kids and Jeremy Little. It's been a pleasure having you here this morning. You folks sound great, and you've given us a nice little holiday boost here, perfect for Friday at this time.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
And thanks to you for listening. It's been fun being with you. Steve is back on Monday. John Williams is coming up at 9 o'clock. And I'll be going out for dinner right now. You know, I'm ready for like a steak and a baked potato.
Not that late.
Come on, you got to have lunch first.
Well, and you've been up this long.
I know.
It's been great having you here.
Well, it's great to be had, Dave. It's a lot of fun.
It's been fun.
And it's very impressive to have this this beautiful studio next door where you can have these performances. And it's overlooking the city. And it's really set up to be something really special. Very nice. Who paid for that? Do we know? Do we still owe money on that?
I'll take credit until somebody else did.
Yeah, John Williams.
Yeah, Joe. And by the way, thanks, Joe and Viv, for helping out this week. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and then it'll be John Williams. And here's a sneak preview. What's going on, John?
Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, who is a suburban congressman who is on the House Intelligence Committee, is going to join us and just kind of update us on what he saw, what he said, and where we go next in the impeachment proceedings. But that's not all. It's Friday, and we're bringing back the bright side of life to my new shift. So we'll start your weekend at 11:40. You call in, tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling, and we will smile with you.
Happy Friday to you, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And we will talk to you again when you least expect it. Have a terrific weekend.